Okay, we're going to go ahead and record, and we'll just see how it goes. So this is Laura Berman, Fort Gang, and we are in the month of October. This is our community call, our Now What community call, in the fall of 2016. And I don't know about all of you out there in listening land, but this year has flown. I just think it's gone so fast. It's very odd. But as they say, the older you get, the faster they go, so I won't tell you how old I am. We don't have a huge attendance today, but we'll take this person on the call. And I have a write-in question from India, of all places. So let me call that up. The TED Talk that I did is almost at 200,000 views, which is, that makes me very happy. And the biggest outcome has just been getting email from all over the world. And it's just fascinating. And India is one of the top writer inners. That is not a real word, I know. One of the top countries represented who write in. How's that? Is that better English? Yes. You can imagine how much my editors like editing me. Okay, so listen up. This is what we have from India today. And then I'm going to take a live question on the call, and I also have a little brief summary from a Fortune.com article that I was part of that might be relevant to all of you right now. All right, so this person writes to me from India and says, I'm making a difference in this world, just like a Steve Jobs. I'm a 25-year-old female in India, and I've completed, I'm going to translate, or rather paraphrase, but completed medical residency and training. So I have a young woman who has been trained as a doctor, but always fascinated by the big Bollywood actors, by politicians, and feels that trying to make it as an actor, it seems attractive to her because she's really fed up with being a doctor. The thrill is missing from the work. She wants to be an actor to A, get into acting, likes the dramatics in school, B, getting to maintain herself, staying thin and charming. C, people get to know you so you can spread some good social messages across a large population. D, a lot of actors have started charities at a young age, which is something I would love to do. And 5, I feel I want to become a politician, possibly, because then they speak publicly about their opinion, and their opinion creates a difference in those others. And that way I could at least create change. And 6, I don't know if I should stick with my current job. I don't really admire any doctor, be it a great doctor who did something amazing. I'm not fascinated by it. Looking forward to hearing your valuable response. All right. So it's always hard when the person is not on the call because coaches really aren't supposed to tell you what to do and prescribe and advise. They're really supposed to ask questions. So if this person were in front of me, a lot of the questions have been answered by why this person thinks they want to be an actor or a politician. Now, I was an actor, so I can tell you, it's really tough business. It's not like just you break into it just like that. Some people are lucky. But what is a true indication here, and this goes for anyone who's listening or thinking of doing something else, and especially when it's a radical move, sometimes it's not about doing that radical thing. It's about why you want to do that radical thing. So this person has told us why. They think it would be thrilling. They want to have the opportunity to spread social messages and create change, or to have a charity. All this boils down to having influence and creating change. So can somebody who's trained as a doctor create influence and have messages about change? Absolutely. So I want to make this young person's question universal to anyone who's listening, because our dreams aren't always meant to be like the thing we run off to do, like join the circus or become a Bollywood actor. Sometimes our dreams are just trying to indicate what we need more of. And in this case, this person, you know, feels kind of hopeless and helpless having studied all this time for something that's not just so thrilling anymore, but it can become thrilling. So what is a bigger sense of purpose behind staying with the medical field? Or maybe using the medical field as a jumping off point to spread social messages. So, you know, here in the United States, we have many people who are trained doctors and practicing doctors who then take on the medium of television as a way to reach more people with their message. You know, some you respect, some you don't. But that may be one hint that's coming through with wanting to have the spotlight. It doesn't necessarily mean having to act to do it, right? So how I know that when somebody dreams of something that it isn't necessarily the direct hit, like, yeah, go off and be a Bollywood actor, it's because there's reasons behind being a Bollywood actor. It's not so much I have to express myself in this way. It's, no, I'm hoping that by being an actor, I can reach people and have an influence. I can have a nonprofit. I can create change. So we take out that middle step. If you're waiting on success of something that you haven't even tried yet in order to get something else, you take out the middle step and you go for the something else. You want influence. You want to create change. You want to have a social message. You want to, bring publicity to a cause. All that can be done without being the Bollywood actor. Okay, so that, because we don't have this person on the call and I don't get to ask some questions, these are the assumptions I'm going to make, but I think that it has relevance to other people in the sense that, like I said, if there's a middle step that requires it to be successful for you to get what you really want, that is an indicator to me that you don't even go there. Take that out and go for the thing you really want. And you're already trained at something or you have a resume in something, whether it be like this person, the doctor, or you've spent time being a lawyer or anything else, that can be leveraged and used as a skill set or as a credibility builder or as a credential to get to that next thing. All right, so I'm gonna end the answer to that question there. I hope this person tunes in and gets the audio and listens to this. And let's take a moment to kind of back up. So I answered this question right out of the bat. If you know my name, you signed up for this tape. The program that I run for people on career transition is called Now What? Based on my book, Now What? 90 Days to a New Life Direction, and also the TEDx talk is How to Find Your Dream Job Without Ever Looking at Your Resume. That title has nothing to do with anything. It's just what TED wanted to name it. But in there you'll find the core to the philosophy on how I do this. And I'm now trying to work with schools in New Jersey and on the college level to shift how they do guidance. Because if I look at where my adults that I've been working with for 25 years get hung up and can't figure out what they want to do, it's because of how they were taught when they were in high school and picking college majors. You can tell I'm fired up and annoyed with that. So when I get annoyed by something, I do something about it. So I'm studying that group now and working with schools and trying to figure out where we're just not helping the younger generation make the transitions they need to be, why we keep on trying to do it the old way when half the people in the United States wish they could do something else for a living. But back to the Now What program, we have a bunch of facilitators who have studied with me. Coming up in just 2 weeks is the start of the next facilitator training, so if you're a coach listening to this, there's still time for you to join us. There are a few slots left. Would love to have you. If you're someone who's trying to figure out what to do, you want to come on some more of these free calls, you want to pick up the book, you want to see what else we're doing in terms of getting our newsletter and maybe working with one of our coaches or even me. So that's my commercial. Now I want to take our call to a live person on the line. So you ready to ask a question?
No pressure.
We got Minnesota in the house.
Woo!
Go ahead, what's up
for
you?
I'm so thrilled to be able to talk with you one-on-one after just watching your TED Talk literally 2 weeks ago, and now I'm in Chapter 3 of the book and was on the website. I'm like, there's a call. Sign up. Let's do this.
Awesome.
So I'm just really being open to the process and going through it, so I don't actually have, like, a concrete, specific question. But I'm coming up with a lot of really solid realizations just being open as I'm going through this rather than I wasted a lot of months trying to brainstorm what should I do, and didn't get anywhere.
But you bring us a great example because I'm sure other people who are listening have been in your position or are in your position currently. And I'm always kind of tickled when people, you pick up the book, it's a 90-day program, or if you work with me or one of the coaches, it's a 90-day program, or sometimes it runs into 4 months, depending on how fast you read. And people say, like, God, that's so long. And I'm always shocked at that because I'm like, how long have you been trying to figure this out without help? Much longer, I'm sure. So, yes, I'm glad that you're getting some insights and some, kind of bumps over the head of like, oh, yeah, okay. And that's exactly what it's designed to do. It's not the the usual career advice of getting your resume together and how many people are you networking with, et cetera. It's really asking you the deeper questions so that you can really figure this out, because the this is just you. It's figuring you out. Do you want to say a little bit about what's brought you to the process? I mean, what you're doing now, or what you've been wondering about, or where you are in your career life?
Sure. So I'm a very driven, focused individual, and for me, as soon as I know where B is, I will go from A to B very quickly. And right now in my life, not knowing what B is has been infuriating, very frustrating.
Freshly out of school? Have you been working a long time? What's your scenario?
So I'm 27, soon to be 28, young professional in the corporate world in manufacturing.
Uh-huh.
And I've done that since college. I went through a leadership program, and now I do lean manufacturing as a specialist.
And do you have any ideal version of what you'd like to do? Or
I know with
100% kind of
certainty that... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Or did you leave some kind of dream on the side of the road, on the way to jobhood?
I left a passion on the side of the road. And I've kind of come to some realizations through the book of what prompted me to say, I can't have that, I can't do that.
Mm.
So I used to ride, show, and train horses.
Mm.
And I grew up doing that, and that had to at least be put on hold while I went through college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of brought up with the philosophy from my parents that you can't have that lifestyle unless you have a very good paying job and are debt free and all of these other things. So I've always just told myself, you can't have that yet. You can't do that yet.
Mm.
And I'm understanding through my work experience and through the things that really drive me that I really want to be a riding instructor. I love teaching.
Awesome. So the big yeah, but now it's what, still living with the programming that's in your head?
Yeah, and also some financial stability, going through the chapter about losses, like what I would be potentially
giving up
or what it feels like I'd be giving up, yeah. And then there's also a big fear factor for me that I've been away from that industry for 10 years, and it's a little intimidating to think about getting back involved in that, and it's kind of like any other, I guess, aspect where you have to know people, or it feels like you have to know people.
Right, and those are just all, you know, really great obstacles that you put in your way.
Yep.
And one of the mottos of the program, too, is, like, let life tell you. Like, you don't have to decide. Life will tell you. Like, if you go back to it and the doors are all shutting in your face, it will test you, and you might still persevere, and then a door might open, or you'll find, oh, you know, things haven't changed that much. You know, we're not putting laser shoes on horses. You know, the technology has not gotten so intense. You know, so there's things you could pick up on quickly. You know, life will tell you if all your stuff that's going on in your head is true or not. You know, it's like you don't need to decide. Life will tell you. And I hear what, you know, your parents echo of, like, you know, the equestrian lifestyle is expensive and et cetera, et cetera. But you just don't know what opportunities find you when you follow the passion.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to repeat follow your passions and the money will follow, because we have plenty of examples of that not being true. You still have to be smart. But, you know, you don't know if, you know, going back and teaching and riding, you know, leads you to meet somebody who has this other business idea and it has to do with horses and whatever, and then you're in partnership and you're making all this money, and then you're on your own step. But you just don't know how it's going to go down. So, you know, even with the actor example, it's not to talk that person out of that, but in that case, there was something behind wanting to have that, you know? So I wouldn't compare that to your scenario. But what did you learn? What have you learned about business so far, and what have you learned in school so far that would inform you going back to that industry, if anything?
Oh, gosh. My confidence is so high. I'm at a fairly high corporate level position. I've also started two of my own businesses, and I just recently started a blog as well. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, so I'm kind of primed and ready to own my own business. It's just deciding what I want that to be.
Oh, great. Yeah, so you are well primed. See, nothing, and that's another one of my mottos, is nothing's ever a waste. No matter how much time you spent on something, nothing is a waste. It, you know, it grew you, it taught you something, it trained you how to think, whatever. Nothing's a waste. So you're very well positioned. And, you know, of course, you know, finances always come into it. Everyone always gets nervous and scared. But, you know, you can make a crossover plan, which is something you'll see later on in the book. Like, it doesn't have to be an immediate leap. It can be you're starting on the weekends, or you know, renegotiate your job and it's part-time and you're doing the other thing part-time, and then there comes a point where you can make the leap. It's just no question it's time to make the leap. So, again, you can't write the whole future. You just start taking the steps, and, you know, how we know that you're hitting what we call in the book your life blueprint is that things just sort of accelerate naturally and take on a pace of its own. So, with that said, yeah, you'll read the rest of the book, but but what do you already know?
No, what you just said really struck a chord with me, and it was sort of like getting struck upside the head that I've always been a 200% person, all or nothing. And you're like, oh, you can cross over. You can start doing things on the weekend. I'm like, what? That is possible. Such a simple
exactly.
thing that I would have never considered it. I'm like, no, I need to go from here to there with nothing in between and just leap. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Exactly. Exactly. There's leeway. There's variety. There's a crossover. There's an inching over, whatever you want to call it. So, and, you know, sometimes it's scarier to people to actually see it so possible when you didn't see it before. And get freaked out, but no, it's right there, and I love that. I appreciate you calling in too. So you know where to find us. You know where to find me. info@nowwhatcoaching.com. We do answer email. So I you sound emboldened. I'm ready for you to like go off and do something and come back in 2 weeks and tell us what you did.
It's really exciting because I feel like I'm right on the edge. Like I'm going to
exactly.
break through very soon.
Exactly. You're right on the cusp. And it's you know, we got to love our parents. They only want the best for us. You know, you said your parents were entrepreneurial, so maybe they know the insecurities of being self-employed, and so they always like, you know, don't do what we did. You know, be more secure. We want you to be okay. And, you know, eventually we find our own way. You know, like I was an actor first. I have one of my kids is hell-bent on going to theater school. And my parents wouldn't do that. They were like, if we're paying for college, you are not going to study theater. And, of course, I will not do that same thing to my kid. I'll be like, hey, my parents wouldn't do it for me, but I'll do it for you. And at the same time, I still hear myself like, you know, you sure you really want to do this? Because it's such a horrible, insecure life. But, you know, that's just being a parent. Where, as I explained to my kid, I said to her one day, I said, here's a little thought. You know, you sometimes you feel like your parents don't love you. You know they love you, but that they're on your case, and so how loving can that be? But there's basically only two emotions, love and fear. And you love your kids so much that it turns into so many fears about what could go wrong for them or what could happen for them. And you just don't, you have so much fear, and you want only good things to happen to them. So that love kind of curdles and turns into fears, and you paint those all over your kids and paralyze them. So there's my lecture on parenting tonight. We've got to do better. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to yours who aren't even on the call, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. It's a big reason now that I've realized why the two businesses I started on my own, I never transitioned to full-time, because I always had that risk in my ear from them of like, you don't want to make that leap. It's too risky.
Exactly. That little, I won't call an angel, little devil on your shoulder just going, no, fear. You know, but calculated risks are good risks. And, you know, we live in a, as I said in my TED Talk, it's like happy at work is something that we have evolved to be able to get. You know, excuse me, there was a time when, you know, happy just meant putting food on the table, but we've been lucky in our country, in our society, that, you know, we want more, and we discovered, the last generation discovered that more doesn't always necessarily mean more money. It means more meaning or more enjoyment or more time or more giving back, more fulfillment. And, you know, in fact, like, that's where I'm at with the high schools and guidance. You know, we teach people how to be successful and to be good students and how to be successful, but we don't know how to teach them how to be fulfilled or satisfied. We're just like, ooh, you're good at math. Okay, so go all the way with math and never ask why math. You know, what would matter to you? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, okay, we've dealt with our question from email. We've dealt with our question live. I'm going to do a little summary of my Fortune.com article that came out a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to call it a night then, because we had people sign up and not show up, but they're going to get this audio. So I thank you, Minnesota, for being in the house and making the live portion work today. All right, so from Fortune.com by Annie Fisher, who is an awesome writer for Fortune. She used to be on the paper magazine, but now she's Fortune.com. And she had a question about, you know, what if you're getting bored at work? What if you're just kind of stuck and, you know, not much is moving forward, but you can't really move, you can't really make a move right now because we're all kind of waiting for things to happen with the spouse and who's going where and where they're going to be. You've got to stay put, but you hate your job. What can you do? So LBF got on the case, and I came up with three A's for Annie: assess, adjust, and advance. So I love the title of this article, too. Here's how to reboot a job that's become a slog. So if you're in a job that's become a slog, even if it's just temporary because you know you're headed somewhere else, this is what you do. You assess. Assess. Make a list of everything you don't like about the job and everything that bores you about it. You know, just having a general sense of malaise and a general sense of I hate it, you can't take action on that. So you have to get specific, right? So make a list of everything you hate, from the commute to the people to, you know, the coffee stinks, whatever it is. Just write down everything you can't stand. And on the other side of everything you can't stand is something you want. So look at where you can clean up and change what is in your control. So that's the second A, adjust. Once you have a clear mental picture of what it is you don't like or what you want less of, start making changes, from renegotiating your job description to doing something about your commute or whatever it is that you're complaining about. And do know that it's more expensive for a company to find somebody to replace you than it is to work with you to make the job work. So you have more of an ear in people than you think. It also may mean saying no to energy vampires and time vampires, people that want to take your time for things that don't move you anywhere, which brings us to the third A of assess, adjust, and advance. Now you've got to advance your agenda here. So if you did figure out what you want and you're starting to renegotiate that, advance it. Advance yourself. Have more exposure to people in the company. Right. Raise your visibility. Get involved with your trade association. Get involved with people across your industry and other places, because you never know where you'll be moving to. So, pardon me for the choking on this audio. But that's just a quick little recap of the Fortune.com article that came out. And if you haven't seen the TED Talk yet, please go over to YouTube and look up Laura Berman for King TED. And this brings us to a very short call tonight. A nice little tight 26-minute audio for those of you who are listening. Any other questions from the Peanut Gallery, Minnesota?
I did have one quick follow-up question, actually.
Great, go for it.
So with kind of the realization that my parents are in some ways limiting, how does that affect how I communicate with them about this change that I want to do? Do I lean more upon my supportive friends? Like, I want to have support from my parents, but I also don't want to be hindered.
Oh my gosh, you're so smart, and you're so smart to ask this question, and it's in the book somewhere.
Oh, good.
Chapter, I forget what chapter it is, I think 11. People, like puppies, are trainable. You know, we can train the people in our life. Yeah, sometimes the people who love you the most are the worst supporters when it comes to a radical change because they're afraid. It could affect their status quo in the sense that they'll worry about you or they worry if you're going to need financial support or, you know, if some people who are listening have a spouse or a life partner, like, oh, my God, you quitting. Well, what is that going to mean? You know, they're happy for you, but it changes the whole status quo. So very smart to look at that portion of it. Definitely rely on your outside supporters first. Your parents may not be the first person to hear your thoughts. And as you have more solid plans, you can share it with them. And you have to stand in your resolution, you know, just like you said about your own confidence having already been out in the work world. You have confidence in making this decision. This is not willy-nilly. This is based in something very real. And, you know, and you'll make a plan so that it feels safe for you. So if it's safe for you, then it just has to be good enough for them. And, you know, it's natural for them to be fearful. When I was your age was when I was still acting and starting to cross over into coaching. And, you know, my mother's reaction was, oh, first you were an actor, now you're this thing no one's ever heard of. You know, when are you going to get a real job? And I realized one day that every time my mother was afraid for me, it made me doubt myself. So I had to put a boundary in place and be like, you know, Mom, next time you're afraid for me, you have to tell Dad, not me. Don't tell me. You know, and she'd still do it a few times on the phone. I'd be like, you're doing it right now, that thing where you're so afraid for me, and then you tell me and I doubt myself. You can't do that anymore. So your boundary setting with your parents may be different, but that's just a place to look. But you're very smart to ask that question. And, yeah, go with your people who are not going to be as afraid for you. And watch out for naysayers, even if they're the people that love you.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, those of you that are listening to this call at another time. And you know where to find us, me, info@nowwhatcoaching.com. nowwhatcoaching.com. We will have other calls like this. We have past recordings. It's always been my priority to bring this information to you at every price point. So here's free. So the book is, what, $15? And you go up from there. So let us know how we can help you. And thank you for calling in. Pleasure to meet you. Until next time.